Hive, a secure, scalable framework for distributed OLLaMA inference. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In 1999, NVIDIA released the GeForce 256. They called it the world's first graphics processing unit, a GPU. In reality, they didn't really invent that term, but they are credited for largely popularizing it. Before the GeForce, high-performance graphics chips existed, but they were called a number of different things. There was no standard term. NVIDIA, framing theirs as a GPU and marketing it far and wide, finally made the term catch on. The label stuck, and so did their framing of the concept. The GPU wasn't just a graphics card. It was a co-processor optimized for handling thousands of operations in parallel, ideal for rendering 3D scenes in real time. Within a few years, the GPU became standard not just in gaming rigs, but in professional visualization, simulation, and eventually scientific computing. Back then, few of us could have imagined that GPUs, originally designed to accelerate polygons, would become the backbone of modern AI. But they did, and they are. 26 years later, they're powering the inference engines that run everything from chatbots to drug discovery pipelines. And in some research labs, the biggest technical hurdle isn't getting a hold of GPUs, but figuring out how to make the most efficient use of the ones they already have. How to get them to work collectively, how to connect them, and how to schedule workloads across isolated networks in a way that doesn't require VPNs. That last problem, scheduling across networks without VPNs, is what today's paper is all about. Today, we're going to take a look at a tool that lets you treat a scattered mess of GPU-equipped machines, so these could be old lab desktops, office workstations, or lockdown servers on different networks, as a single inference cluster. The system the authors of this paper created is called Hive, and it's a lightweight proxy worker framework built specifically for distributed OLLaMA deployments. On this episode, I'm going to walk you through how the architecture works, how requests are queued and routed, how it handles authentication and failure, and why the design avoids the usual pitfalls of multi-node inference systems. But first, we need to talk about OLLaMA. What is it? For the uninitiated, OLLaMA is a lightweight local runtime for large language models. It's used by developers and researchers to run open-source LLMs on their own machines without needing cloud infrastructure. It's particularly useful because it abstracts away the complexity of model loading, inference, and environmental setup, giving you a simple API to interact with. In this paper, they're building this system specifically for OLLaMA deployments. So now let's dig into why that kind of thing is needed at all. Let's say you're a technical lead at a research center. You've got GPUs scattered across three or four different locations, some in old lab machines behind university firewalls, some in newer workstations on a different LAN, and maybe a couple of cloud VMs running spot instances. You've standardized on OLLaMA as your runtime. For most teams, it's an easy way to spin up models like Llama or Mistral or Gemma without needing to wrangle Docker, Hugging Face weights, or low-level serving infrastructure. But as soon as you move beyond a single machine, the cracks start to show. You've got a number of different nodes, but can't load balance across them. You can't target different models based on availability. You can't scale a workload elastically. And unless you're willing to hand out public IPs or maintain your own VPN mesh, there's no safe or scalable way to unify all your OLLaMA instances into a single inference endpoint. Now, this might sound like an edge case, but it's not. In many organizations today, a significant amount of idle GPU capacity isn't blocked by compute limits. It's blocked by network topology. Most inference orchestrators assume you're in a flat, routable environment like a Kubernetes cluster or a managed data center, but many real-world setups are fragmented. You've got machines all over the place, some physical, some virtual, some local, some remote, all living on different networks. And the burden of stitching all that together, auth, routing, failover, load balancing, etc., falls entirely on you. You can do it, it can be done, but it's going to be painful. That's the pain point Hive is built to address, and this paper is the author's way of showcasing it and walking through what it's capable of. To be clear, it's not a new model server. It doesn't replace OLLaMA. It's a coordination layer designed to abstract away the network boundaries between existing OLAMA nodes and expose them as a single proxy endpoint. Clients send requests to Hive Core. Worker nodes, called Hive Nodes, pull over outbound TCP. No inbound ports, no VPNs, no reverse proxies, just a centralized broker that understands which nodes can serve which models and dispatches traffic accordingly. But why? Well, the entire system is designed with the assumption that you cannot expose worker nodes to the public internet, not even internally across an institutional VPN. So every node runs in its own isolated network and only initiates outbound connections to a central proxy. That's what Hive Core is. There are no listeners running on the worker machines. No need to forward ports. No need to configure firewall exceptions. No need to tunnel traffic through something like ngrok or slap Nginx in front of everything. Hive Core is the single ingress point for all inference traffic. And because of that, it is the only machine that needs to be addressable. This outbound-only model serves three purposes. First, it lightens the DevOps workload. You don't need to allocate public IPs or do any NAT traversal to get nodes talking to each other. Workers don't even need to know about each other's existence. As long as they can open a TCP connection to Hive Core, they're in the cluster. Second, it keeps your attack surface tightly controlled. Because the only inbound port is on the proxy, and because Hive Node makes no effort to receive traffic, you sidestep many of the security problems that can creep into distributed systems. This way, you don't need to worry about inbound DDoS vectors, exposure of internal APIs, or leaking metadata about what models are running on which nodes. Third, it makes onboarding new nodes predictable and repeatable. You can script it. Generate a worker token from the Hive Core admin interface, drop it into a .om file on the target machine, and run the Hive node process. That's it. There is no post-install configuration or manual registration step. Everything happens through the authenticated outbound socket, and Hive Core does the rest. This is the architectural inversion that differentiates Hive from other inference frameworks. Systems like Triton or VLLM assume that nodes are reachable, synchronized, and under consistent network management. Hive assumes the opposite, that your nodes are in hostile or fragmented environments, that you may not have root access, and that you want to spin them up and tear them down without touching any infrastructure outside of the machine itself. Now, that probably sounds all well and good, but you might be asking, what happens when things break? After all, in any real-world deployment of distributed infrastructure, things will break. Workers will crash, network links will drop, OLAMA instances will misbehave. The question for Hive isn't can it avoid this, it's how gracefully can the system handle it. Hive's answer is a combination of structured error propagation, automatic state transitions, and a controlled reconnection flow. Let's walk through each one. On the worker side, failure handling starts with OLAMA. If a model request results in a recoverable error, like a bad prompt or unsupported model or malformed input, Hive Node doesn't suppress the issue or mask it. It streams the full error payload back to the client via Hive Core. That includes both the HTTP status code and the OLAMA-provided error message. This allows client systems to programmatically differentiate between a user error and an infrastructure failure, which is essential for upstream retry logic or alerting. More critical failures, like network timeouts or dead local OLAMA services, are treated differently. If Hive Node can't complete the request because OLAMA is unreachable or returns a structurally invalid response, it drops the task and emits a 500 error. These are explicitly not retried by Hive. The assumption is that client systems should implement their own retry strategies as needed. Now, what if a Hive Node itself becomes unstable or disappears? Hive Core tracks all nodes via their polling behavior. Every active node maintains a persistent, authenticated outbound socket connection to Hive Core's node server. If a node misses its heartbeat or fails to respond within a defined window, Hive Core marks it as closed and removes it from the active pool. This prevents stale or unreachable nodes from accumulating inference requests they can no longer fulfill. Recovery is handled via a controlled reconnection sequence. When a drop node tries to reconnect, it must re-authenticate using its worker token. It also redeclares its supported models, concurrency capacity, and runtime versions. Hive Core treats this like a fresh connection and reintroduces the node into the scheduling system. There's no warm start, but there's also no residual state to clean up. The whole life cycle is stateless beyond the active socket and the queue membership. To prevent reconnection storms, Hive Node uses exponential backoff. This throttling protects Hive Core from being overloaded by repeated flapping nodes, especially in misconfigured or unstable environments. These mechanisms are designed to be minimal, predictable, and robust under pressure. There's no centralized watchdog or panic mode, no cascading retry system. The guiding philosophy here is push failure semantics to the edge, preserve causality, and recover via clean reconnection paths. It's not bulletproof, but it's operationally clean. That being said, there are other limitations. There's no persistent queuing or task checkpointing. If a request is in flight when a node dies, that work is lost. There's no notion of retries from Hive Core or reassignment to another node. These trade-offs simplify the system, but they constrain the kinds of guarantees that Hive can offer. If you're building on top of Hive, you'll need to handle the retries yourself. Hive keeps your infrastructure online and observable. What you do with the errors is still your job. So, that's how Hive works. The question is, does it work well? To find out, the authors ran two experiments to validate whether their architecture could scale without introducing bottlenecks. First, they tested how Hive Core behaved under load by simulating hundreds of clients sending embedded requests to a mixed pool of worker nodes. Despite the scale, it remained stable. CPU and memory usage stayed low, and system resources like threads and file descriptors scaled predictably with client traffic. There were no signs of resource contention, even at high concurrency. The second experiment focused on performance overhead. They compared request throughput and latency between two setups, one where clients talked directly to an OLAMA server, and one where all the traffic was routed through Hive Core. The difference was actually negligible. Response times were nearly identical, and the system handled roughly the same number of requests in both cases. Taken together, these results show that Hive's proxy worker architecture holds up under pressure. The control plane stays lightweight, the dispatch logic is efficient, and the additional layer doesn't meaningfully impact performance. So, what can we take away from this paper? Well, the broad idea here, and the important implication, is that the authors have managed to turn LLM inference into a resource coordination problem, not a network engineering one. That idea unlocks usage in places that would otherwise be stuck with single node inference or forced to rely on public APIs for every task. That inversion and that unlock are both practically and conceptually useful. If you want to dig into the operational details from this paper, that is the exact curl commands for onboarding nodes, the full Grafana dashboard JSON, the workload mix benchmarks that stress tested the system, passed 1,000 concurrent connections, etc., then I highly recommend that you download the paper. The authors include repo links, sample.on files, and a candid discussion of the tool's current limitations, as well as its planned roadmap. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.